Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our training camp series, and joining us today, a great friend of the show, offensive coordinator at St. Scholastica, Bobby Acosta. Bobby, always great to have you here.
Tremendous. I'm happy to be on right now.
Well, Coach, for you, you know, we talked a little while ago, a couple months back, maybe about the install and getting ready for a camp and having a new team. You guys will be kicking things off here soon. But a lot of our listeners now have been into camp for a couple of weeks. And I think, in talking to a coach just yesterday, you know, he said, we had a really bad practice this morning. And I said, well, why is that, Coach? What do you think? He said, well, we just, you know, we haven't hit anybody new yet. We've been doing this for a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. And, I think as coaches, we get so focused on, you know, our install plan and making sure we get everything in that sometimes we forget that we got to look at how do we keep it fresh for our players. So for us, while we might see a lot of variety in that install, in that practice plan, in that script, our guys get that feeling of, you know, it's just another day. And you know how it is in camp. I mean, you start to lose track of what day is this of the week. We know it's practice 9, for example, but where are we in, you know, on the calendar? So I do think it's a very valid point. And I certainly remember going through those times and having those times where I felt like the players mentally just weren't fresh. So first of all, your thoughts on those things and how they happen.
Well, you know, initially I only scripted 6 practices. After the 6th practice, I'm really going to see where we are. But now the NCAA, you know, they have, and I don't know if you can do this at the high school level, you have days off built within the schedule. And I visited Noma Zoni last week for the whole week, and you can just see that the kids get refreshed. With that day off, you could have a speaker come in or you could do something with your players. So we have 3 days off built into our schedule that we're going to do things with our kids. And there's another time we're just going to give them off, you know, stay away from us, get refreshed, get ready for the next day. So I think that's something that, you know, people can look at to try to break up their camp.
I know, Bobby, and you probably agree with me that as coaches, it is a very, refreshing thing to be able to have a schedule like that. I know, in thinking back just, you know, I mean, it was last year, I think you could still do 2-a-days, but when, you know, the last year I coached was 2016, that when you hit a 2-a-day, it was not something really you looked forward to because there was, it just felt like a day where you rushed through everything. You didn't get your full meeting time. You didn't get your full time with film. You didn't get your full walkthroughs. You had a quick turnaround where you felt like you couldn't watch all the film or prepare, make the adjustments you wanted to coach guys up. So I think the new schedule is definitely welcomed, and I would hope that it catches on at the other levels too. I know my son is here in Ohio. They do 2-a-days, I think, and then go to a single. And I'm not quite sure if that's by rule or just how they do it at their school. But I think that type of thing we were talking about where the players do get that day off or where you can get them mentally and physically refreshed, I think is a big thing. But probably you would agree with this. We get caught up in that idea of we can't get outworked.
Yeah. And, you know, my whole philosophy with that is if you believe in with what you do offensively or your install calendar, I think, you know, we use the 3-day install and we go through it 3 times. And, you know, our kids kind of look forward to the next progression of the install. And, you know, you don't want to put too much in because now your kids can't get good at it. So, you know, that's a big focus for us. You know, put enough in, but at the same time, don't put so much in that you can't get good at one specific thing.
Yeah, I was talking to another coach yesterday afternoon at a different school, and he was talking about, you know, the defense they're putting in. A very ambitious young defensive coordinator who is very bright, but is putting in so much stuff that the kids are kind of getting overwhelmed and and not playing fast. And they're in a situation, small school, guys going two ways. They run, you know, an option offense, a triple option offense. So there's all kinds of, you know, adjustments they're expected to make on offense. And now they got to turn around and have all these adjustments on defense that it's maybe not the best thing for them. And while all those schemes he has are very good, it's not fitting their situation well. So I do think it's always about understanding what your situation is, understanding what you need to win too. I think that's the biggest thing. We talked a little bit, you know, Coach and I, about, you know, who's the toughest opponent on your schedule. That's who you guys really need to build to. Forget about you could do all these cool things against all these other people. What do you got to do to beat them?
Yeah, I like that whole mindset. And my head coach last year, Coach Susan, would tell me, it's not what we know, it's what the kids know and what they can get. And, you know, as coaches, we tend to say, hey, we're the smartest guy in the room. But I'm a strong believer you have to coach to the least denominator in the room. So, and that's how I progress. Now, the person, the weakest learner in my room, is he getting it? If he's not, I'm staying with that install until, you know, everyone gets it. So, you know, I've taken that whole mindset and philosophy from Coach Susan. It's not what I know. It's what the kids could perform and know and understand.
Well, Coach, as you look at, you know, getting through those first six practices, and now you do get those days in between, but you come around and you've reevaluated, but are there any things you're looking to do from a practice format standpoint, whether that's certain periods of practice or, you know, certain things with what you're doing in team that can put the mental focus on it, keep the enthusiasm and the energy up, keep it challenging, especially as you're hitting the same guys for weeks, you know, as you're going through camp?
Yeah, and within our practices this year, our fundamental period is 45 minutes. So a lot of our practice is fundamentals. And then interacting with the defense with one-on-ones, and we're doing one-on-one block stalk drills. So we're putting our kids in a competitive situation. We're only going two periods of team. And one of them is going to be a teach team tempo, where we're going to really slow it down and teach it. And the other one, we're going to use the same exact script and do it live against the defense. So, and then we'll build in 5-minute breaks within every period just to take time to teach a mistake or just to get a breather with your guys so we can refocus ourselves to the next period. So, you know, this year, fundamentally, I want to put more focus on developing my student athlete. The scheme is there. They know it. They've been running the system the last 2-3 years. But now, how can we take our kids fundamentally to another level?
And I've been able to take a lot of a look at a lot of what you've put together in your triple threat system. And I'd say just the feeling for me is I end up watching a lot more on fundamentals than I actually do scheme. That you do spend a lot of time on, okay, here's, you know, what we're going to run, here's the concept, but then there's so much that you put into teaching the fundamentals to make the execution perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm priding myself on, because I went back to my high school football coach where we ran the same play over and over until we got it right. And, you know, if we're running a pass concept and you can develop everyone's fundamentals on catching the football, running great routes, releases, I think that's where our team is going to make their money. You know, when the scheme is not working, when the team is bigger, faster, stronger, you go back to your fundamentals, and that's not going to let you down. And that's what I stressed the last couple of years. How do we teach our kids fundamentally to get to the next level? The concept is there, but how can we make that concept better with fundamentals?
That's exactly it. And I think, you know, you look at drill design, right? And I think some people get crazy with drills and they get excited. They see something that looks really cool on YouTube, or this team's doing it, that team's doing it. They get enamored with the logo on the helmet and forget that, you know, your guys are going to have certain things they face. There's going to be certain scenarios that come up again and again and again. And it's probably, you know, what I've found in just anytime I install the play, we really look for those. How many different things do these guys got to handle and adjust to on the run to make this successful? And it really boils down to, on a lot of plays, like three or four scenarios that they're going to face. And really that then involves some decision-making and then physical execution of a technique. So that really becomes the drill. And I think, at least my thought is, the more you can build in a drill that you have to recognize and make decisions and execute a physical technique, the better they're going to be when they actually have to do that on the field in the full play. That you could break it down into smaller parts there within those techniques and fundamentals, and then build it all back together when you come together in like a group or a team period.
Oh yeah, and you hit it. It's the trigger, the mental trigger. Can our guys trigger under stressful situation and perform the correct technique, perform the correct assignment? And that's what we focus on the fundamentals and the trigger, the mental trigger. Because now if there's a delay in that mental trigger, all right, most likely he's going to be a step slow. So we put a lot of focus, and I even do it with my scripts. All right, I sat down with the coaching staff the other day, and we went through install number one, the script. And I just said, play number one, dual right, 51 chevron. What is the quarterback read? What's his progression? What's his footwork? And now the staff is going to send a trigger word out there, say, coach, he's three step, one piece. All right. He has snag route over angle of departure, 6 yards over the B gap. So you start to really teach your coaches, and now the coaches teach the players. And now if our players and our coaches could think instinctively and use great technique, I think we have a better opportunity to win that football game.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I'm fortunate to be able to watch. I have a lot of guys who share their huddle film with me. And I was watching a team running four verts. You know, I love to run four verts, and I've studied that up. And, you know, on the surface, you'll see these kids, you know, okay, he's on his landmark. He's where he's supposed to be. But then you watch, well, how did he get there, and why is this not working? Why is it on film in this particular play? Why is it broken? And you look at, well, geez, you know, instead of, you know, working this way on the release of that defender, he thought he could get over top of him, and now he's actually clogged up the whole space. Even though he's gotten to his landmark, it's brought a whole bunch of people into the same area. And it's those little things. It's finding those little things and being able to really create those different practice periods. I mean, why do we run drills, right? I mean, if you think about it, the most effective thing is to go out and run the whole concept, because that's where you really get good at it. It's like the game, but it's not efficient to do that all the time. And you can't teach some of those little things that you can over and over again in a drill than to be able to put it back together in the team situations. And I think that's the purpose of drills. I think we lose maybe the focus on thinking, you know, oh, well, we do this drill every day, but then we forget about why are we doing it and should we be doing it?
Yeah. And I always tell our coaches is that, is your drill connecting to the scheme of the day? You know, are we running a drill that has nothing to do with the scheme? It's like Michael Jordan when he went out and shot 100 foul shots every day. All right, that's connected to what he does. He's a good player. People are going to foul him. He's going to get to the line. And, you know, with football, you know, catching and throwing and blocking, you know, our coaches have to find the correct blocking drill so our guys can get better. I was watching today something on Rutgers, their new offensive line coach. He was using a med ball to really focus on hand placement. So he had one athlete hold the med ball, the other athlete holding the guy holding the med ball. So they're working hand placement, and they're working the drive phase of it. And it was a neat drill because it was organized, but you can see where that's going to carry over. So I put a lot of focus on trying to research this kind of stuff, like how do people practice their drills. And I'm very intrigued with that because I think, you know, you make your player a much better player.
Yeah, I think, and you bring something up important there too. I look at, you know, the field equipment, and we get tied into those things we see at clinics, and we go and buy it, and we've bought it, so we think we got to use it again and again and again. But some of that equipment actually doesn't equate to exactly what we want. I think of blocking in particular, right? And guys having to block, especially early on, these flat shields. And you look at how they're learning to place their hands early in camp, and it's not what you want when you're actually facing a person and you need them to be fit in a certain way. You need thumbs being pointed in one direction. You need them hitting with a certain part of their hand. And unfortunately, the flat pad, especially, I think you can manipulate how you hold it, but the flat pad doesn't give you exactly what you want when you're teaching that technique. And that's probably what you saw with the med ball there.
The kids had such a punch, and with tight elbows, I said, I'm going to use that drill.
Right.
And there's a carryover. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where you got to get a little bit creative too. The med ball has been such a good thing because it is a little bit more, it allows you to place your hands differently because of the shape of it. I know for me, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, like I was so frustrated with flat shield at the Division III level, all you could do in the spring, right? And so what I did was outfitted it with an old pair of shoulder pads, and it made it more realistic. Now I could see guys' hand placement and working the different handles where they're supposed to be. So I think little things like that, being creative with what you have, allows you to get a lot more out of it.
Yeah, at Cornell, I used a pool noodle for the wide receivers to act like a distraction. And, you know, they were hitting it when they were catching the football, breaking tackles with it. So you can find equipment out there that is cheaper on the budget that mm-hmm. could correlate to what you're doing on the football field.
Exactly. Well, Coach, as you you know, go through this and you look at getting guys to game day and figuring out who's getting the playing time, how much playing time are you getting, how are you evaluating them, what things are you putting an emphasis on as you go through camp and you get a chance to see what these guys are doing out on the field?
Well, you know, within, you know, we evaluate our players every day. And the number one thing I look for is playmakers. Who are our 5 to 6 to 7 playmakers? So initially I would make a list saying, how many playmakers do we have on the offense? So if you have 4, 5, 6, or 7, then I start scripting towards their ability, saying he can break a tackle, he can stretch the field, he can take a slip screen to the house. So eventually I'm trying to get them the football during, you know, throughout the practice, throughout the game. Because if you get a ball in a playmaker's hands and he catches 5 balls and yards after catch is tremendous, now that's where your 100-yard, 150-yard games come from. And that's where I start to put a lot of focus on creating my game plan. How can I get Johnny the football this game? All right, my quarterback is a runner. How do I put him in space against a linebacker? So, you know, those are some of the questions I have to answer throughout the week when I'm game planning.
I know you talk about that all the time and looking at your playmakers, Coach. How much then do you look at that offensive line too and figure out who are the best guys to get behind?
Yeah, it's, you know, we have in all my years coaching so far, our offensive line has always been a step or two behind. And, you know, within the scheme, I think you protect them. So I mentioned 5-man protection in our 3-man snag. Every time you do that, and every place I've been, every place, the offensive line coach looks at you like you're crazy that you're going to throw it down the field with 5-man protection. So, you know, the main thing you tell the O-line coach is the ball is going to get out. So we do stuff within the vertical set and all that to protect the offensive linemen. But, you know, within our offense, we're a progression-style passing team. Our tackles need to be our best players because of what they have to do. Defensive ends in last year in Bucknell in that league, they were the best players defensively. So our tackles really need to be great players. Our guards, they need to be like fullbacks, guys that can move and pull. And our center ultimately needs to be the quarterback on the offensive line. So, you know, I'm a left-handed offensive coordinator, so I call a lot of left hash. You know, the first time I think of a play, I think about it on a left hash. So, you know, my quarterback is righty, so that left tackle is better be pretty good. But you know, I'm trying to live in the left hash, left middle of the field, and because he's a righty quarterback.
Right.
But so yeah, you could do a lot of things to help your offense line.
Coach, when you look at you know, you've put together some great materials, and I know there's things that maybe apply a little bit more as you're doing some off-season research and looking for things to put in. I know you have some great stuff that could help coaches right now, and especially, you know, we talked about keeping it fresh. I know you put together a lot of drill packages within the work that you've done. What are some of the best things you have available for coaches as far as, you know, the drills and some of the videos out there that would be useful even though we're into the preseason here?
Well, yesterday at the airport, I just put out a game planning set of videos on Coach 2 for very cheap. So that's something that as you know, as the games start to come upon us, I think that's a good set of videos. The fundamentals of tight end play, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, you know, I have manuals. I have the sequence that you should run your drills. So that's something that, you know, I have out there also, that you can get very cheap right now. And then, you know, the system, if you just need something to reference back to. And I deal with calls every day, coaches calling me up saying, Coach, how many run plays are you putting into your install? I say, hey, give me your email. I'm going to send you my install right now. So, you know, I'm a transparent person. I give people everything. But, you know, Coach's Tube has been a great resource for a lot of people and for me. And I think it's a great tool to really teach coaches, and I'm going to continue to do that. So, and just a phone call away or email, I'm available every day. So,
Coach, give us an overview of what's in that game planning package, because I agree. I know that right now, as everybody's kind of getting through camp, they're thinking about week one and everything that happens after that.
Yeah, well, the title is Game Planning Made Easy. All right, I think a lot of us, we overlook game planning. And game planning shouldn't take you 50 hours. For me, my offensive formation, my offensive plays, it's set for the week. Now I'm going to start to incorporate the defense that they're running or their base blitz package. But I'm not changing my plays. You know, I might change the presentation, but I'm not changing my plays. This is the formation that we're going to feature this week because it's good against that defense. But within the game planning, I have that whole video set that it says, hey, this is game planning. It's easy. Now I give specific, you know, categories, third down, red zone, backed up. You know, backed up, I'm using two plays to get back out. I also have the manuals that you can go with that. Also, game planning in the red zone. I think, you know, people tend to change their offense a lot there. You don't need to. And I also have game planning for big plays. And, you know, I think that's another area people need to focus on. And I also added a punt return, a tape on punt return, because I think a punt returner, and it's just skills and drills, and my philosophy on punt returners, I think a punt returner, if you could get him into the mindset that he needs to get two first downs within that scheme, it's going to help your offense. So, you know, I think it's a great package. There's a lot more that I'm leaving out. Also, visualizing the game plan, how to teach your players how to visualize the game. That's a popular video that everyone's been buying. So, but, you know, I could put this, you know, people could call me, people can email me. I could put the bundle anywhere I want it. And, you know, hopefully it'll carry you through the season.
Well, we'll share that information, Coach, in our show notes here and all your contact information as well. For the coaches out there, why don't you give them your Twitter? At least we have something easy to get to you with your Twitter handle.
Yeah, Coach B81010 on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, call me whenever, message me, I'm available.
Coach, I'm looking forward to see what you guys do here in your first year at St. Scholastica, and keep up the great work, and I look forward to talking to you in the off season.
Very good, Keith. Thank you for having me. And coaches, good luck out there. Let's continue to talk.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as 3 free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis articles, and coach. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.